language that everybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And the show's up. That's a penalty.
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's still plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that. He hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free sting.
This is Late Hits. Late Hits. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical RX. And by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton. Look in my eyes, what do
you see? We are 19.7 seconds away from the Purdue Boilermakers becoming the second one seed ever to lose to a 16 in the NCAA tournament. Only the mighty UMBC, who took down Virginia 74-54 in 2018, have upset a 1 as a 16. The Knights of Fairleigh Dickinson that Jake Asmund was very rudely disrespecting are on the verge of a historic upset. History. It's a 3-point lead for the Knights. 61-58, and I believe it's Boilermaker Bowl in the front court. So this is edge of your seat. This is the excitement. This is the craziness. How many people have Purdue going to the Final Four? Imagine losing a Final Four team on the very first. Oh! Guy went for a layup and got swatted halfway across the country. Layup, trying to offhand layup. No way! Now let me ask you something, Charles. When you're on the court and you see tall white guy, do you look at him, that dude's so uncoordinated, I'm going to dunk all over him? Like when you go on the court, you ever see like the big tall white, like, oh, that guy's, he's got no coordination.
He's goofy.
Own him. Yeah.
Goofy walking, knock-kneed, something along those lines.
That was me, except I wasn't 7 feet tall. Down to 12 and a half seconds. And another timeout. This is awesome. This is what makes the tournament great, right? Is the fact that you have these massive upset potential in the first weekend of the tournament. So I don't take the brackets seriously. You fill it out for fun. Don't take it seriously. Have fun. Enjoy the upsets. That's what makes the tournament great. When you look at it, that's what makes the tournament great. Now, real quick, looking at the bracket. Charles, do you have a bracket up?
I do.
Okay.
Actually, it's right in the hall.
Okay. What's the Purdue is number one in the East. So Marquette is the other team, correct? Marquette's the 2 seed?
Yeah. Let me go grab it.
I will tell you, I had Marquette going to the Final Four.
You're lying.
I have.
Right. Are you serious?
Got Marquette going to the Final Four. I had them beating Purdue in the Elite Eight, not whomever, but I had Marquette going to the Final Four. Oh, long three off the mark, rebound FDU! And they're going to the line. This is about to become a two-possession game. He's only got to hit one. It's a two-possession game. Guy gets a corner three, pulls it down, step back, air ball. Air ball. This is awesome. In fact, I think Tobin Anderson's the head coach for FDU.
Oh, that's a game. He just made it.
Hits the first one. It's 4-point game with 8 seconds. Yes! Upset! Purdue is going to go down! Jake Aspin will know the name of the Knights tonight. Another rejection by the Knights. It's a 5-point lead with a second and a half. This one is over. It's over. I'm loving this. I am absolutely freaking loving this.
CPC, I had Marquette going to my Elite Eight.
But losing to Purdue.
Losing to Purdue.
I have them beating Purdue.
Oh, man.
So, always hurts to lose a one seed. But if you had that one seed going out before the Final Four, it doesn't hurt as much. So, we've got lots of upsets, lots of close games today. There were a lot of games today where in the first half, the games were real tight. I mean, right now, they're under 3.5 minutes, and Kentucky's only up 6 on Providence. Gonzaga was only up 4 on Grand Canyon, who didn't even have jerseys. They fly commercial, and the airline lost their luggage. So they had to borrow jerseys, I think from Purdue. They borrowed their scout team jerseys, or Baylor. They borrowed their scout team jerseys before they finally got their own jerseys on time for the game. But the Zags have blown their doors off in the second half. It's a 20-point game now. Drake giving Miami all they can handle. Drake is up 4 early in the second half. That game was a 5-point lead for Drake at the break. So 5-seed Miami getting all they can handle with a 12-seed. A lot of these games were tight in the first half. You know, let's get to some of these games that have already gone. But before we do that, let's have a little fun. Because one of the reasons why we all love Inside the NBA is Charles Barkley. Right, Charles and Shaq, they get off on their tangents, and they're hilarious. And sometimes Kenny's so busy trying to throw water on stuff, he ruins it. Well, Shaq's not part of CBS's college basketball coverage, but Kenny and Charles are. And here's Chuck trying to tell a story, and Kenny trying to ruin the story before Chuck finally gets to say what happened. And the look on his face during this whole thing is just, it's priceless.
I mean, it's so much stuff that goes into this. And you know, shout out to all the trainers also. Yeah. To have all, and the guys who do all the uniforms, to get these uniforms cleaned up and everything. Cause, I mean, I'm so old. We used to take a shower in our uniforms because, you know, because we flew commercial my first few years.
Wait, time out. There's no era where you did that.
Yes, it is.
Stop, you're making this up.
No, I'm not.
There's no way that you were supposed to wash your uniform with your own. You're making this up.
I'm not making this up.
Let him finish. No one in the right mind has ever done that.
Let him finish, Kenny.
Please
do.
And soap, they give you soap.
Let him finish, Kenny.
When I first got to the NBA, we flew commercial.
Yes.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
So when you played the night before and flew the next morning, when was you exactly going to get your uniform clean? You had to wash your uniform yourself. So after the game, when you got to your room, you took a shower in your uniform and dried it and dropped on the commercial airline the next day.
Who are you, with Jed Clampett?
No, please.
That's why you had to let him finish.
Come on.
No.
Yeah, have you ever heard of this in your life, Clark?
Well, how are y'all cleaning y'all uniform? Y'all playing in fucking uniforms?
No, somebody.
Washing a dryer or someone else. Yeah,
when you're flying the next morning.
You can clean your uniform without showering in it.
That is
possible. You can actually clean it without showering in it.
In it. You don't have to have it on.
But it's easier to do it that way.
It is easy to do it that way.
Now, what I think is hilarious about this is Chuck's like, I'm so old. We used to have to shower in our jerseys to clean. Charles is only 2 years older than Kenny. Charles is 60 and Kenny is 58. Charles got into the NBA early. He went in 84. And Kenny got in 87. But he's 2 years older than Kenny. He's like, man, I'm so old. Let me tell you about back in my day. Kenny's like, what? Dude, that was so funny. This is why these are the reasons why you watch the show, just to watch these guys tell their wacky stories. They don't have to talk anything about the game that actually happened. They don't say anything. Just tell wacky stories and keep me entertained. All I want. Yeah, I'd much rather watch Kenny hip check Shaq and send him flying into a Christmas tree, in some kind of foot
race.
That
was hilarious.
then have them like actually try to break down games, because a lot of times they try to break down the games. It's like, all right, stop it. You're reading off the teleprompter. You're not actually saying this. You just do the funny stuff. And that was awesome. That was just straight up classic. The Knights, Jake Asman. The Knights, not the Dicks. The Knights of Fairleigh Dickinson. They are going to the round of 32. Purdue is going home. And they will get the winner of Memphis and Florida Atlantic. That game is later on tonight. They will get that 8-9 game. And we'll come back with all these other games that have gone final today. And a little bit of sound from each one. Get to it next. All right, time to get some NCAA action today, as, man, there were a lot of close games, and there were a few games that, well, they didn't stay close very long. We'll start with Pitt and Iowa State, where Iowa State scored the fewest points against a double-digit seed ever. Here is the high point of the game for Iowa State.
To Lipsy, driving. Oh, slam down! Trey King, ferocious!
That was their highlight. That's it. They're going home. Iowa State destroyed by Pitt, 59-41, as the 11 takes down the 6. Also, a 6. Me, I'm a 6. Taking on the 11 in NC State, it was almost a close game. Here's Takavion Smith from NC State making it a 3-point game.
At some point, Burns is going to have to roll to the basket.
It was the highlight of the day for NC State because they were down 3. There were 4 minutes and 40 seconds to go, but here's how it ended.
What a hard-fought basketball game that we saw today. 2 elite scorers. And Creighton does just enough and finds a way to advance.
Survive in advance, baby. Survive in advance. And shout out to all my cousins in Omaha. Creighton takes down NC State 72-63, 9-point win for the Blue Jays. 4-seed UConn taking on 13-seed Iona. And this game was not close. And, you know, actor Bill Murray, comedian Bill Murray, he was, let's say he was enjoying himself at Iona's expense.
Albany. Newton inside for Jackson. Ready to raise the roof off this place. Sanogo! Unreal! Bill Murray liking it.
Bill Murray laughing it up as the big fella hits the three from the top of the arc. That made it a 21-point game with 3 minutes to go. UConn wins by 24, 87, 63. The aforementioned Marquette, team that I have going to the Final Four, they're the 2-seed. They're taking on the 15-seed Vermont. This game was very, very close in the first half. But in the second half, Cam Jones, well, decided to make it his game.
Cam Jones feeling it. Two more. Unbelievable. He has taken over this game out of nowhere. He scored the last 18 points for Marquette.
Cam Jones leading the Golden Eagles to victory. 78-61 over Vermont. It's another one of those games that was close, but then... well, one team started to pull away. Fifth seed, St. Mary's. 12th seed, VCU. And the Gales pulling away late.
Never rushed. Biding their time, working that shot clock. Marshallone is the kick. Johnson. Got it.
That's what Johnson needs to do in the late shot clock. Look for his...
They would pull away late, and the game would be, well, a 12-point victory. Game was closer than that for most of the time, but the Rams just could not keep up with the Gales as the second quarter rolled on. Third seed Baylor Bears take on 14 seed UC Santa Barbara. This is another game where the Gauchos had the Bears tight in the first half. In the second half, well, Bears eat Gauchos.
Might be a chance we might see him. He has not played here for UC Santa Barbara yet tonight. Or today, I should say. Keontae George with his first field goal.
Now, I don't know what a gaucho is, but I know that it's not going to survive against a bear, especially if that bear has had cocaine. By the way, if you have not yet seen Cocaine Bear, it is a highly entertaining movie. Do not take it to be anything serious. It is a fun, enjoyable, gratuitously violent and gory movie. And you'll laugh. And you'll enjoy it. But bears on cocaine over gauchos. This game was very tight. Third seed Xavier. 14th seed Kennesaw State. The Musketeers were down 13 in the second half before finally taking the lead with less than 2 minutes to go.
2 minutes to go. Nungy, the back end and kick.
There it is.
Kunkel!
Xavier, 72-67 winners over Kennesaw State. But tell you what, after the game, Amir Abdur-Rahim, head coach at Kennesaw State, this was his post-game presser. And if you love sports, if you love competition, if you love basketball, you need to hear this audio.
How about them Kennesaw State Fighting Owls? Man, I am so proud of this group, who they've become, what they're about, but more importantly, how they respond to adversity and even how they respond to success. That was a fun basketball game out there.
Performance is
no better than that. And like I told these guys in the locker room, man, I'm not going to sit up here and let them feel sorry for themselves, because we've said it all year. We're not going to let what people on the outside of our circle say success may be. We're not going to let anybody define success for us. These guys are successful. They're winners because they decided to love one another and commit to a common goal. So, man, I couldn't be more proud of this group.
Man, I love that. I love a coach who has real perspective, has his players' backs no matter what, and isn't afraid to show his emotion, his passion, his dedication to his team. I mean, I feel pretty good that before today, nobody outside of the very small 5-mile area around Kennesaw State knew that they were known as the Fightin' Owls. I would bet 85% of people who filled out a bracket didn't know Kennesaw State existed until they saw their name on the bracket. And they gave Xavier all they could handle. I get, you know, oh, they're just a low seed that lost in the first round, and you know, well, they probably won't be back again. It doesn't matter. That group for that school did something never happens. They got to a tournament. They were a team that all eyes were on them because they nearly pulled a massive upset. All eyes were on them. And unfortunately, when you get into these kind of, you know, win and go home tournaments, there's a lot of smaller teams whose dreams die early. For most of them, just getting here is a big part of the dream. They're Kennesaw State. I can't even tell you what conference they're in. Because I couldn't tell you that Kennesaw State was even a Division I program before you saw their name on the bracket. Right? Who the hell is Kennesaw State? And those guys played their ass off. They're in the A-Sun. I mean, I'm sure there are teams in the A-Sun that here's who's in the A-Sun. Austin Peay, Bellarmine, Central Arkansas. And I know Central Arkansas. I know Austin Peay. I know Eastern Kentucky. We know Florida Gulf Coast because they were in the tournament not that long ago. Jacksonville University. Kennesaw State. Lipscomb, we know Lipscomb has gotten in there a couple times. North Alabama, North Florida, Stetson. And yes, the Stetson is called the Hatters. Like, just how absolutely cheesy is that? The Stetson Hatters. The Queens University of Charlotte Royals. Let's see, we got any other... The Liberty Flames. The Austin Peay Governors. The Eastern Kentucky Colonels.
I'm still not feeling that one. I thought...
Oh, making me hungry. So, yeah, there's a lot of cheesy names when you get to smaller schools.
Kennesaw might have the best one on that list.
They're the Owls.
Yeah, they're the Owls.
They're the Owls.
Beautiful campus, by the way.
You've been there?
Yeah, yeah. Had a friend. She was in nursing school there.
Oh, you had a friend?
Yeah.
Was she just a friend? Did she say she's just a friend?
I said that.
Also, Michigan State taking on USC, and apparently the biggest story of the game involved Tom Izzo.
Coach, I need to talk to you about what you've been doing in the weight room because you had a performance here in the timeout huddle when this thing, you snapped this like a twig.
These are harder to break than those old cardboard ones that Lapis had.
That's what he said.
He wouldn't have been strong enough to break this. So,
is that a gift for Lap?
Yeah, keep it at the Lap. All right. It's just part of the fun. I'm glad you're making fun of me, but I love it, man. It was, you know what?
What?
We're going to coach, guys. We're going to do what we do. Instead of, you know, not letting them get away with this and that, we're going to be hard on them because defense wins games.
Now, look, Tom Izzo's really kind of douchey, but the story of the game was he snapped the whiteboard. I went through all kinds of different accounts and feeds trying to find some quality video, some quality sound for this game. Nothing. I spent like 15 minutes just on this game trying to find a good piece of audio, and I got Tom Izzo being a D-bag. I'm going to coach him hard. Shut up, idiot. Michigan State won 72-62 over USC, and I hope they get their ass kicked in the next round. Charles, how do you feel about trolling?
I think it's hilarious. I'm not myself a troller, but it's pretty funny.
Depending on who you ask, I may or may not indulge in some trolling from time to time.
It's the northerner in you.
The UMBC, the previous only 16 seed to beat a one seed. We talked about that earlier in 2018, upsetting Virginia as the one seed. And then today, of course, Purdue goes down to Fairleigh Dickinson. UMBC Athletics Twitter account. We've been lonely.
That's good. That's good.
Oh, I love it. Love it, man. This is the best weekend in all of college sports. Because everything that goes down the first weekend of the tournament, all the craziness, all the insanity, all the upsets, everybody, you know, biting their nails down to the clicks because, you know, they're worried, is their team going to go down? Is there going to be a huge upset? This is the best weekend in college sports. We got more coming up next. Late Hits.
You are listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, and by Dr. Christo Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, they are less than a minute to go. And the Zags are going to advance, the third seed Gonzaga. They're up 14 over Grand Canyon University with under a minute to go. That one is pretty much done. However, under 8.5, and it's the 12th seed Drake and 5th seed Miami, and they are tied. Charles getting the bracket back out. See, all right, hold on. What the hell's going on here now? How's your bracket looking overall?
Overall, it's not very good. I'll be honest on that. You know, Furman knocked me out, was the first team to kind of throw it in the garbage with Virginia losing. And then with Purdue losing, you know, I had to win my Final Four. Purdue was the only number one seed that I didn't have going to the Final Four. I had UConn in the West coming to the Final Four.
All right, so I'm trying to figure out how to open my bracket on the ESPN page because, I mean, God forbid it make it easy, right? So let's see. Games I have right so far. Alabama, that was an easy one. Sorry, A&M, Corpus Christi. Sorry, Islanders. Got Maryland right. Got Charleston wrong. Got Virginia wrong. Got Creighton right. Got Baylor right. Got Missouri right. Got Arizona wrong. Thanks, Arizona. Had Arizona going to the Elite Eight.
Same.
Let's see, you got Houston right, Iowa wrong, Pittsburgh right, Xavier right, A&M wrong. Thanks, Aggies. You guys are clowns. All that, I mean, this is what drives me crazy. They were underseeded. Their resume said they should have been like a 5. Underseeded. And then with all the talk about how they deserve to be a better seed, they go out and they lay an absolute freaking egg against Penn State and deprive me of my Texas A&M second round matchup that I really wanted to see. I mean, I really wanted, and I picked the bracket the way that I wanted it to go, which was I wanted A&M and Texas to battle, and then I wanted UH and Texas to battle in the Elite Eight to go to the Final Four. I wanted to see the rivalry games in the Midwest bracket, and already A&M screwing it up. Thanks, Aggies. You know what? Don't have to have your coach's show or your basketball games interrupt my show anymore. Thanks. Bye. This is the tournament you give me? You lay an egg in the first round. You guys killing me. All year long, we've supported you. All year long, we've backed you. All year long, you've interrupted my show. And I kept quiet. I didn't say anything. I was happy. No. And now you guys go and lay an egg in the first round when we're all looking for you to take on UT and have an awesome rivalry game. Thanks. Obviously, there is some tongue-in-cheek to this. I don't want Aggies with no sense of humor to think that I'm actually saying bad things about their university and then calling up my general manager, who is an Aggie, by the way, calling up my general manager to say that I need to be fired tomorrow because I dared to disrespect the great Aggie Nation.
Yeah, I forgot I'm on the Twitch, too. So let me, like, my laughs weren't very genuine either. Yeah, let me throw that in there. I'm a lot more expendable than Patrick. So let's get that, yeah.
Got Purdue wrong. Had Purdue as an Elite Eight team. But I love that they lost. I love the chaos. Duke right, Tennessee right, Kentucky right. USC wrong, Marquette right. I got Marquette in the Final Four. Kansas right, Illinois wrong, VCU wrong. UConn right, Gonzaga right, Northwestern right, UCLA right. Let's see, I got... I got Gonzaga going to the Elite Eight, too. So far, I haven't lost any Final Four teams. That's important. Because those are the games where you
have
the chance.
That's pretty impressive.
Those are the games where you have a chance to get the big points. You can make up a whole lot of ground by not losing those teams. So, although, to be honest, my Final Four is a lot of chalk.
What is it?
It's Alabama, Houston, Kansas, and Marquette.
Okay. See, mine was Alabama, Houston, Purdue, and UConn.
Okay, so you had 2-1s. I got 3-1s. And I got Marquette.
No, I had 3-1s. Alabama,
okay,
Purdue,
yeah.
Houston, and yeah, UConn was my other
so
one.
So you had a 4. You had UConn's a 4. So you had Kansas getting bounced.
I did.
Oh. Jayhawks. But no, this is the fun part of talking about basketball is, like, I can sit here and tell you, I got all these ones wrong because I'm stupid. And, like, I don't get upset about it. I don't lose my mind. I don't take it personally. Like, oh, I picked a game wrong. Well, you know what? So did, like, half of America. In the case of Purdue, so did, like, all of America. So, it's, like, I'm not losing my mind. Basically, it's just more of a talking point to talk trash on each other and have fun and poke the bear and whatnot. Never take this stuff too seriously. Remember, at the end of the day, it's sports, and sports are about us having fun. If we wanted to be serious and really be angry about things, we wouldn't talk sports. We'd talk news or politics, because news and politics get your blood to boil. Sports are supposed to be fun. They're our escape. Always remember, it's fun, even when you lose, because a bad day of sports is still better than having to go to work.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to- through the old town road. I'm gonna.
You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
WBC, Puerto Rico and Mexico in a quarterfinal. Puerto Rico hangs a four spot in the top of the first. Mexico has three in the bottom of the seventh to take a 5-4 lead. And for those of you wondering, Martin Maldonado catching and batting ninth for Puerto Rico, 0-3, two strikeouts. But Julio Urias gave up four runs in four innings and a pair of bombs for Mexico before they've settled it down. Marcus Stroman, who might be out of his mind, gave a pair of runs in four and a third, but they get three. They get three runs on a pair of walks and a hit. And another pair of hits is Mexico up 5-4 now as they go to the top of the eighth. Now, last night, the Houston Roughnecks suffered their first loss as a franchise. And unfortunately, it happened exactly the way that we thought it was going to happen. And that was going to be, there was going to come a point in time where the defense was not going to be able to make up for the inadequacies of Brandon Silver as a quarterback.
Inside breaking routes on the right side.
DiNucci sees daylight. This is what they want him to do more. Step up and run. DiNucci, end zone. He's in. Seattle on the board.
Now, that was the first touchdown of the game. Ben DiNucci, quarterback for Seattle. That wasn't even a designed play. That was just a broken play and a scramble and a 20-yard touchdown run for DiNucci, who happens to be a mobile quarterback. And the reason why that was significant is before the game, it was announced that Trent Harris, who is the top pass rusher in the XFL, leads the league in sacks, six, leads the league in tackles for loss with eight, was announced before the game he was inactive. No reason was given why he was inactive, but he was inactive. And all week long, you know, injury reports. The Roughnecks didn't actually publish an injury report this week. Their injury report said no practice. So they didn't list any players. They just said they weren't practicing, you know, the short week. I don't know, and really nobody knows yet, why Harris didn't play. But Harris not only is the best guy in the league at getting home, but he also commands a double team on basically every play. That allows his teammates like Tim Ward, Emmanuel Ellerbe, and John Dacca to get one-on-one blocking schemes, and then it lets them get home. Without Harris in the lineup, Seattle was mostly able to double Tim Ward, and Dacca and Ellerbe couldn't beat their guys. They really didn't get pressure on DiNucci until the fourth quarter when Seattle's left tackle got injured. And then they had to put a backup guard at left tackle, and that went about as well as you would expect it would go. But the reason why that touchdown was significant was because they didn't have a plan of how to contain DiNucci into the pocket. There was an interview done with Wade Phillips on the sideline where he even admitted, well, you know, we didn't think he was really a threat to run. We didn't really plan for that. Obviously, we're going to have to change our plan. How do you not know? I mean, you got to know about that. And from that point on, that particular run early in the game, they were tentative in rushing DiNucci because they were worried about him getting outside containment. So then they became hesitant. They became more cautious. They wouldn't just take off after the quarterback. Now they're, you know, trying to just maintain and stay in front of him. And that allowed DiNucci to keep his eyes down the field and look for opportunities down the field. You could tell right away in this game the energy level and the physicality by the Sea Dragons was not matched by the Roughnecks. This was the first time this season the Roughnecks were bullied. They were bullied at both sides of the line. We had not seen that before. And, you know, maybe you chalk it up to it being a short week. Maybe you chalk it up to Harris not being there. Or maybe you chalk it up to Brandon Silvers being absolutely freaking awful for most of this game. And I thought it was hilarious, the broadcast. Oh, Brandon Silvers, elite arm strength. I nearly spit out my drink when I heard that. Because he might have the weakest arm in the league. Silvers is a lot of things. He's a smart quarterback. He's a cerebral guy. Understands concepts. Usually makes the right reads. But he lacks the arm talent to fit the ball in tight windows. He's not particularly accurate if it's a small space. And last night that was on display. Because Seattle played a very tight man defense, exacerbated by the fact that Jontre Kirkland, the top receiver for the Roughnecks, got injured in the first quarter. And Seattle played very tight man coverage on Houston, and Silvers just couldn't get the ball in the window. He was consistently overthrowing receivers who got open deep and broke contain, got behind the defense, and he overthrew them every single time. And I mean like six or seven times. He was consistently behind receivers where completions that should have happened didn't. The receiver had to stop the route, turn around, reach back to get a ball. That cost them any opportunity to get yards after the catch. Late in the game when they were rallying, he was so far behind the receiver, he hit the defender in the back. Silvers was terrible. His entire night was saved by a 74-yard drive that was all passing. Very late in the game when they were down 21-6 with 2 minutes to go. And Justin Smith turned a 20-yard pass into a 47-yard touchdown by taking a pass that he caught over the middle and just outrunning everybody. But Silvers was awful. And every game this year, Silvers has had moments where he's been really accurate and then moments where he couldn't hit the sink from the shower. Silvers was the reason they lost last night. They had four turnovers. They had two interceptions in the end zone, including this one by Ajani Harris.
DiNucci looking that way initially. Fires to Gordon. It's picked off. Ajani Harris with the interception.
Harris had two picks last night. Sean Davis had a pick. Those two guys are 1-2 in the XFL in interceptions. They had four turnovers. And the offense just could not capitalize consistently. Their only touchdown in the first 57 minutes of the game came on an extremely short field. And this was it. It's Max Borgi kicking it in from a yard.
Houston staying with Silvers. Borgi looking for the second effort. He's tackled into the end zone. It took a while, but Houston is on the board.
Max Borgi getting it in from a yard. His third rushing touchdown of the year. That got them on the board. I made it 15-6. But one of the first, from week one, this team is going to go as far as Brandon Silver's arm can take them because his arm is not very strong. His accuracy is, and you'll see him with sometimes some high accuracy numbers, but he always has low yardage totals compared to his completions because he completes a lot of 0 to 3 yard passes. And there had to be at least five in the first half where he completed passes of 3 yards or less, where he's checking down, the receiver is blanketed and has absolutely no chance for any kind of yards after the catch once they make the catch. So they get a 2 yard completion and the guy's getting killed. Brandon Silvers cost them this game last night. If he had been decent, they'd have won that game by 3 scores. I'm not kidding. On no less than 6 occasions, he missed guys wide open behind the defense for what would have been sure touchdowns. And he kept overthrowing the ball. He was behind no less than 20 attempts where the receiver had to either stop the route, cut back the other way, unable to make the catch because it was so far behind them, hit the defender in the back. And despite all that, they have a touchdown drive that takes 58 seconds off the clock. 74 yards, 58 seconds off the clock. They've got less than a minute to go. Still have an opportunity because in the XFL, you have in the fourth quarter, you have the option of, instead of doing an onside kick, you could do the 4th and 15. They converted the 4th and 15. So now they've got 1st and 10 from their own 42 and about 28 seconds left. You need a touchdown. They're down 21-14, so they're down 7. Need a touchdown, they need at least the extra point. On the drive, you hear Wade Phillips say, "We're gonna go for 2. So they weren't playing for a tie, they were playing for the win. First play they run, Silvers throws deep down the field, not a well thrown ball, but receiver gets mugged. Pass interference, and they let the defenders, both teams, to be fair, both teams, they let defenders beat the hell out of receivers last night. Like, it was 70-style defense. Hands, grabbing, pushing, like, everything was legal last night. This was so bad, he threw them to the ground. They've now got 1st and 10 at the, I think it was the Seattle 28. And there's, like, 20 seconds left. They're at 28-yard line. They are really, like, they somehow have a chance to pull this game out. Silvers escaping the pocket, goes to throw. Ball's knocked out of his hands from behind. Pops up into the air, lands in the belly of a defensive lineman. Game over. For as bad as Silvers was last night, they still had a shot because they forced 4 turnovers. They had 2 punts blocked. One that was partially blocked and went 16 yards. One that was fully blocked and Seattle recovered at the Houston 9. That a Jenny Harris interception was how that possession ended. The defense bailed their asses out so many times. And Silvers just could not get it done. There's going to be games like that. He is what he is. He's just not that physically gifted. He's smart. Like, he's making the right read. He just can't get it there. So they fall for the first time this season, first time as a franchise. They next play on Monday night against the D.C. Defenders, who also enter this weekend undefeated. Houston and D.C. were the 2 remaining undefeated teams. So we'll see if the Roughnecks get the opportunity to knock off the only remaining undefeated team. Does it for us for the week. Enjoy the tournament. Have a great weekend. H-Town!